ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here is Mila Page, Justin Jordan, Alex Salve.
Hey, what's up, everybody?
Hello.
Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Booth Man.
Booth Man.
Hey, guys, we have a packed show tonight.
Oh, my God.
I want to tell people you guys, I have some exciting news for you.
Ooh. Okay.
I went to see Dark Knight Rises this weekend.
Oh, great.
Wow. Yeah, again.
Cool. A second time?
Yeah, but there's actually something that I noticed this time that I didn't notice the first time, and I don't know if you guys...
I watch with a pretty studied eye, so
Batman
I think
it.
I noticed, yep.
Yeah, I noticed Batman was in it this time.
Yep, oh, good. Wow. Now,
what I did notice, though, no spoilers about the movie if you guys have not seen it, and why
Who
not?
Hasn't seen it at
Who
this point, right?
Here,
come
actually.
On. What?
Oh, come on.
So proud of that fact. What are you waiting for?
All right.
Nice. Good.
All right.
That's fair.
Okay, you said the crowds are thin.
Last shot of Batman, the final shot of Batman, I noticed, and I hadn't seen this before. It's a shot, it's right on him. This really isn't ruining anything, but it's shot right on him, and he looks directly in the camera. And the last thing he does, the last shot of Batman, is after 3 minute movies, he finally closes his mouth.
Yeah. That's amazing. Big reveal. What do you think it means for the future of the character?
I don't know. They should probably cut one back for one more shot where he's like, wait a second.
I just had one more thing to say.
I'm Batman. Batman. Anyway, good movie. You should check it out, sir.
Better the second time?
I still really like it. I know a lot of people have been down on it. I really enjoyed it a lot, and it reaffirmed to me that it's just an awesome movie. Also, you got to see it in IMAX.
Yeah,
real
you do.
Real IMAX.
That's the only way I see anything.
Yeah. Seriously?
What? Mm-hmm.
You like see, like, true. One movie.
I see even regular size movies, TV shows, like, go to IMAX. It's right in the middle, very tiny, very far away, but it's the way to see
it. If I'm like, hey, let's hang out, you're like, at IMAX?
Yeah, I'm always at the IMAX.
I guess, okay.
Yeah, this show, actually, for those of you listening at home, this is actually in IMAX.
Yep. We're very tall people.
If that's only. A lie. Guys, we have three amazing guests for you, so let's not waste more time. One of them is a comedian from the UCB Theater. The other two are two of the guys behind Monkey Brain Comics. Ladies and gentlemen, Will Hines, Adam P. Navin, Matt Dowsman.
Hi.
Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome. So great to have you.
Thank you, guys.
How polite. How nice.
You guys are very nice.
Gentlemen all.
I don't want to push things too much, but I think by the end of the show, they're going to be best friends.
You think?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really
Anything
nice.
Less will be considered a failure.
So, guys, let's
Let's get this friendship started.
Yeah, let's do it. What do you like?
What?
What kind of stuff
do you
like?
Start a friendship. Like,
yep, puppies on a playground.
Like ponies. Ponies are nice, yeah.
Puppies and ponies. Yeah. Will?
Yeah. I like lists and statistics.
Ooh, rocky beginning, lads.
I don't know. I mean, I like Adam a lot, but I think I like you better now.
Oh, it's easy.
Talk statistics to me. Come on.
If we can't all be best friends, then I at least want to divide the friendships that exist.
That's the spirit.
I like that guy a lot. Yeah. That's what I do.
So, Adam, Matt, let's chat with you. For people who don't know about Monkey Brain Comics, it made a pretty big splash at this point. A little more than a month ago?
About 5 weeks. Yeah. 5 weeks.
So how'd you get involved in it, and what's the idea behind Monkey Brain?
Well, I got a random phone. I got a random email.
No, make it sound really exciting.
So I was sitting at my desk one day.
Good. Ooh. No, add fake details to make it exciting.
let's see. There was a model on the other side of my... Okay, never. No, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. I have gotten to know Chris and Allison, sort of the publishers of Monkey Brain Press and now Monkey Brain Comics. I'd gotten to know them on Twitter, and I just got a random email from them saying, hey, we're going to be doing this thing. You want to be involved? And I said, yes, because I'm not a moron. Some of the time. and literally, it was as simple as that. I mean, I don't want to speak for Chris and Allison, but I think the idea behind it was, you know, they just saw a huge hole in the market. There was a place for creator-owned comics, and now with all the digital stuff that's going on, they said, well, that's the way to do it. Yeah. And they started inviting people whose work they really liked, people like me and people like Adam.
Yeah, it was pretty much, you know, I've known Chris and Allison for a couple of years now, and we've been showing them some work that me and DJ have been writing. And so they just mailed us, and we're like, we've seen this book. We'd like it. And we like it for what?
You didn't trust them immediately.
Well, no.
Good, smart. Whenever you're getting a job, never trust your boss. Lash out at them.
Yeah, I don't trust anybody unless I get into a Mexican standoff with them.
Yep, whoa. That's how you really earn trust in people. Yeah, it's by not shooting them for a moment while they're pointing a gun at you.
Right, in a triangle.
Yeah. Also, if you fight a Yeti together, really does bring a bond.
Wow.
Oh, yes. That's how Pete and I first connected.
Wow. We're not going to end up friends today.
So talk about your individual books. Adam, you have Amelia Cole and The Unknown World.
Yeah, issue 2 is out today, actually.
Woo! Woo.
Yeah.
You can go buy that while I'm talking.
Yeah.
I think Amelia's here.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, DJ's been saying it's Buffy meets Harry Potter, nice. Which confuses me.
But they could meet.
Yeah,
but they could totally meet, you know. It's
yeah, just to clarify, it's them meeting and being the same person.
Right. Not like, confusing.
Yeah.
Not like, hello, I'm Buffy. Hi.
And Harry Potter says nothing.
Yeah.
He just refuses to respond.
Yeah, he's like, you don't make sense.
He's in a deep relationship.
Yeah.
He's busy.
So it's like Harry Potter meets Buffy. It's just a...
It takes place, Amelia Cole's the main character.
Yeah.
And everyone in the world she comes from uses magic. Except most of them use it for things like, you know, making toast.
Nice.
You know, I love
carrying
toast.
The groceries. Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
Assholes.
But she fights crime. She's kind of a vigilante. And the cops don't appreciate it. Mm-hmm. So she has
cops.
To find out in a different world where there is no magic. And this causes the inevitable problems. And she ends up in a third world, which has a combination of both.
What?
And now can have to deal with where she is and how she got there and... You know, make friends and find enemies. Yeah. Hijinks.
Will there be Yeti?
Maybe.
I demand Yeti.
Real Yeti.
Wow,
Yeti.
This is a real
fourth
Yeti.
World of just magical Yetis.
Awesome. I have an unimportant question. Yeah. Why the name Amelia? Is that just like you sounded cool or is it what's the story behind the name?
It originally just sounded cool. Then we realized that it hit the Amelia Earhart.
Yeah.
Lost.
The sort of explorer
kind of
lost world thing.
Do you have
yeah.
any idea where she is?
Yes.
The real Amelia. The real Amelia Earhart.
No further questions.
We're about to break some news.
Yeah. It'd be amazing if this podcast uncovered that.
Yeah.
Oh, she's in the audience over there.
Yeah.
Huge fan.
Yeah.
I like comics.
That's how I imagine.
I'm very old and I love comic books.
Yeah. She's been stranded in the basement of this bar.
Yep.
That's where she crash landed her plane. Talk about where the book's going. The new issue hits today, yep. And she's in this new world. I thought there were a bunch, having read it
right.
and taken a look at it, there are a bunch of cool new things that are thrown in there. Big question is, why set up these two worlds and then be like, third world?
Originally, when we were talking about doing the book, when we first started work on it, we were confused. We weren't sure how to really launch it. You know, we wanted her in this third world. We wanted everything kind of confused and lost, and DJ was thinking we could do flashbacks, we could start late. And I said, you know what would be really cool? We devoted an entire issue to all this world building and then threw it out.
Yeah.
And he called me very stupid. And then we agreed to do it.
Wow.
Nice. All right.
So skip the first issue, you're saying?
Actually, the first issue, all of that does come back later. It was just a... I missed the old comics that would have 20 ideas a minute and they didn't need to use and explore every single one to death.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't afraid to go. Here's a whole universe of stuff. But who cares?
All right, there you go. And Matt, for you, I imagine it's a little hard to talk about the idea of
it
October
really
Girl.
It really is, yeah.
Yeah, because for those of you who haven't read it, and you definitely should, it's all building up to a reveal. In
yeah.
Can you tell us about it?
Well, it's really, really incredibly difficult to talk about. It's a young adult.
Can we see the title again more clearly?
It's called The October Girl.
Okay.
You got it?
No, I do.
Okay.
No,
there
you
no
solved
Yeti
the mystery.
I'm afraid, but now I'm kind of
Yeti
totally
spoiler.
Spoiled
Yeti
that. Too. I might work in a Yeti. It really is difficult to talk about. I described it to one of my friends who's a writer as a fake out. The first issue is a fake out, so it's actually funny to hear Adam talking about what he was doing with the first issue.
Guys are charlatans.
We're really jerks. My idea was basically to have a first issue where it's like. Oh, man, is this all the book is? It's just a girl sitting, thinking stuff.
Woo!
And then, boom, basically try to bore the audience until the last page. You
guys are really selling these.
I know we're really doing a great job.
Really pushing them.
I know.
I don't
Will,
read
what
these.
Terrible, boring stuff are you doing?
Well, I have a whole comedy show which is all setups and no punchlines.
That's pretty much what we're doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, the basic it's going to be a young adult. I call it a dark fantasy. I'm not sure really what to call it. There's horror. There are horror elements. There are, you know, sort of Harry Potter kind of elements. But it's
yetis.
Sort of there are yetis. It's just sort of my
so
own.
So it's like Harry Potter, but there's a young girl. So it's kind of like Harry Potter meets Buffy a little bit.
Are you guys working on the same
it's
book?
It's actually much more like Harry Potter meets Secrets of the American Teenager.
Ooh,
so yeah,
Life
not really
of the American Teenager.
What horror elements?
Just their secrets.
Yeah. What horror elements, like, is it
well,
like
obviously
old
Yeti.
Okay, good.
Yeah, the famous trope.
No, you know, it's funny. Most of my friends are horror writers for some reason. I don't know why. I don't like horror. I'm not a big fan of horror.
Okay.
But I like some of the elements. I like the sort of otherworldliness. I'm a huge fan of any story that takes place in the real world, but there's one thing that's just off.
Right.
So October Girl is really that. I mean, that's kind of where it comes from. It's the real world, but then there's the one thing that's off, and then everything else follows from it, which is kind of a horror trope.
When I was reading the panels before the show, it's almost like a prequel to the movie Ted, because she's really pondering whether or not
that's
the teddy
a sales.
Bears
put that on
are,
your book. Prequel to Ted. You
make
mean
sure
you see
says,
the bear stuffed.
Yeah, yeah, make sure it says the official prequel to Ted,
because there are a lot of pretenders out there.
Yeah. Can you guys talk about working in digital a little bit? Is there really any difference doing that versus working?
No, there's no difference whatsoever at all.
There could be.
No,
I mean, in terms of how you're working.
Nope.
All right.
Booth man.
It's exactly the same. And again, Adam and I are tremendously exciting to talk to about this because we both basically went in and went, oh, it's going to be digital? Yeah, whatever. And we're doing the books the way we wanted to do them. It's just that the delivery system is digital.
You just take Polaroids of them and then scan them.
It's Instagram.
For me, as an artist, I've gotten more and more interested in creating things digitally, but I've been drawing comics for 20 years, so to actually draw a comic on the computer is basically like asking a caveman to build a computer for you, so that's not really going to happen, but I'm working on it.
Wow.
So I
trust
as
in yourself a little bit more.
As an artist, I approached it, I mean, the same way I would approach any comic. You know, on the digital front, the one thing that I did do as an artist is that I actually like really built this whole comic around the idea that the people who would read it had never read a comic before. Mm-hmm. So I actually really built the storytelling in a very simple, easy to read kind of way. You always know which panel is the next panel. So I spent more time kind of thinking about that than I was about, oh, this is a digital thing. I should do all sorts of cool digital things with that. I just didn't have the time.
Yeah, there's a learning curve for us. Right. Nick Brokenshire, our artist, in issue 2 actually has a page that had we built it when we knew about digital, because we'd been working on the book before we knew where we were landing, we wouldn't have done the same way at all. And it's just there is a slight difference. There are certain things you can do when you have a full page versus when you know it's going to be broken down by panel.
Mm. All right, cool. Will, let's chat with you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, so we were talking a little bit before the show. You're working on a screenplay?
Oh, yeah, here's my comic book thing. It's not, I don't know. My friend and I we wrote a sitcom spec. We got asked by a Hollywood friend of ours, do you have they had a job opening. They're like, do you have anything you can submit? We said, no. Because we are idiots and are never prepared. They're like, can you write a sitcom spec in 24 hours? We're like, yeah. I mean, if you give up the idea of quality, we'll do that. And my friend and I, Neil Casey and I, wrote something in 24 hours. And it was fun. And then when we were finished, Neil brought up something called the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
The Allison Bechdel test. Has anybody heard of that in the audience?
Yeah.
The Bechdel test?
I think,
it's a really, Allison Bechdel's a cartoonist, illustrator. And this is a really hilarious test that she applies to movies to basically see how women are represented in them. And her test is the story, the movie, usually it's applied to movies, the movie has to feature two named women characters who talk to each other about something besides a man. That's the test. And then she has a list of the movies which fail it, which are like most movies. Not most movies, that's not true, but a lot of movies, like Anchorman fails it. Like Christina Applegate's the only character woman who's got a name, so that's out on point one. And then Neil and I were like, oh, that's such a hilarious test. And we looked at our spec. We think of ourselves as progressive people. Failed it.
Wow.
Oof. And we inserted a scene just to pass it.
Does that count if you post?
We hadn't given it to anybody yet, so I think, yeah, it does pass.
Was it like, hey, Jennifer?
Well, we had one female character in it, and she was talking to a cashier at a bookstore, which we changed from a man to woman, gave her a name, and they talk about books.
Nice.
Pivotal.
I don't know. We're just trying to. We had 2 hours to turn it in.
You're under a time crunch.
Well, see, that's kind of weird because that's actually for the October Girl.
Yeah.
I actually very specifically went into it with a couple of agendas. The first agenda is to do a good story, but the second agenda was actually a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't mean to spoil anything, but there will be no male love interest in
the
October I'm not
Girl.
Reading it. Sorry.
He's out.
Nope.
But, you know, there's a bunch of... I'm a huge reader. I read, like, 5 books a week.
What?
What?
I know.
Comic books or...
Yeah, they're comic. Those count, right?
Yes.
But, you know, I read a lot of young adult stuff because some of my friends write young adult stuff. And there's just these certain things that happen in every single book.
Okay.
Every single book, the woman is... the girl is defined by some kid, some boy she's in love with.
Okay.
And that stuff just, like, annoys me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny, like, when you think about the Bechdel test, like, funny films fail it, like Silence of the Lambs fails it because they're always talking about Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Like, they're not talking about him romantically, but they constantly are discussing a man.
There's another version of that movie where they are talking about him romantically that I now want to see.
Yeah.
Do you know something that actually...
I'm terrified by that.
Yeah, so
do you know something that totally fails the Bechdel test?
This show?
Comic book club? Guys, I want to let you know I'm a lady. Sorry.
You're only one. Add my suspicion.
You're only one, and we also don't know your name.
What?
So,
what do you think of us men?
Ew.
All right,
that
point.
Sounds about
except
right.
For Justin.
You know, young adult was a genre that I didn't even really know. I didn't know, like, it's abbreviated YA. They'd be like, oh, this is a YA novel. Did you guys know that? I didn't know that until maybe 8 months ago. I'd heard the phrase young adult as a genre, but not familiarly enough to refer to it as YA. But now I since then, I've just, like, a lot of friends of mine are either publishing it or trying to publish
YA?
One.
Yeah, it's
YA
a really,
novel.
Really big thing in the publishing world.
You thought it was a cool way of saying YMCA, like a short way?
I probably thought they were getting into some chromosome discussion where I didn't know what the A chromosome was.
Yikes.
And didn't, like, pay attention. But I guess because Harry Potter, is that technically a YA novel? The Hunger Games
actually,
definitely
technically
is.
It's an intermediate reader middle grade novel.
If you go to Barnes & Noble, they entirely separate from the YA section, they now have a supernatural teen romance section.
Wow.
Like, oh, really?
Section of
boom, that's where I live.
Whoa, that's section. Creepy.
That's more werewolves.
For reading.
Huh?
What?
Well, yeah. For the YA, it's like 30 Shades of Grey.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the stack. All right. Daredevil, number 16 Marvel Comics.
Yes.
Now, Pete, you've been kind of outspoken about the relationship between Daredevil and his best bud, Foggy, who does not pass the Bechdel test.
Right.
No.
So
I consider you the Foggy of, like, our friendship. So.
Yeah, sure. You always dump on me, and I take your bullshit.
Yep.
Well, we're not taking
you
anymore.
Nailed it. Oh, the Foggies are revolting?
The Foggies are rising. Yeah, and this first really amazing acclaimed run of Daredevil here, one of the first issues, it was just Daredevil shitting on Foggy, and it drove me nuts.
It wasn't, by the way.
Not physically, guys.
Yeah,
relax.
Yeah.
So you scat heads out there running out to buy.
So this is finally, we have Foggy saying, you know what? I'm sick of you. You're bullshit, and I shouldn't have to put up with this because I'm better than this. I'm going to business for myself. Yeah, F you, Daredevil.
And you like that?
It's fantastic.
Why?
Because you shouldn't
the
be
the book isn't called Foggy's, like, quotes. Foggy's mad.
Well, maybe we should start calling it that. Foggy's mad. It'll sell like hotcakes.
Yeah, we could call it Foggy Nelson, the man without a friend.
Foggy does this now and then, right? I remember in the early 80s, a Frank Miller story. He went on his own and got a nickname Guts. Like he went undercover and got a nickname in the underworld organization called Guts and
really?
Like tried to foil a villain, but Daredevil was secretly helping him like behind the
Did
scenes
Did he dress
the whole
up
way.
Or something? Did he put on
he, like,
a
no, it was like Private Nelson? Eye, like a big okay. like yeah, coat nice. And like pulled his hat down over his eyes. He's like, name's Guts Nelson.
It's very convincing in the criminal underworld.
Well, in 1981, two-dimensional stories it was.
Yeah. But I just think that, you know, this is an abusive relationship here with Daredevil and Foggy.
He's fighting crime.
Sure, but that doesn't mean...
Okay, all right, can I give a little bit of the setup here?
Sure, sure.
Right, so Daredevil has been held captive in Latveria by Dr. Doom's troops for 2 or 3 weeks.
9 days, I think they say in the book.
9 days.
He's deprived of all of his senses.
Deprived
and
of all
beaten.
Beaten right. nearly to death. The Avengers have to bring him back to life by killing tiny little robots in his brain.
Right.
He comes back to visit Foggy and he's like, hey, what's going on? And the first thing Foggy does is like, you're out of here.
That's no friend.
No, but come on. You know that he's been doing bullshit and not letting Foggy
he's
know about
bullshit.
Like what's going on. Like he...
To
okay,
be fair,
that very specific thing makes it seem one-sided. But before it's just like, hey, do this. I got to go fight crime. Take care of this mess. I got to go fight crime. I don't care about you or your clients. I got to go fight crime.
Well, but if I'm Daredevil, I'm like, oh, Foggy, would you like to go fight crime tonight? Because you can get your suit and your big gut and go out there and fight crime.
I'm not saying he has to fight crime. I'm just saying
Guts
it'd be
Nelson
nice.
Is back on the job.
Yeah. It'd be nice if Daredevil was like, hey, you know what? I appreciate you, Foggy. I know that, like, I
wait,
put
wait,
you
wait.
Through the ring.
This
that's
is
all.
Totally Pete reaching out to you guys right now.
I don't get it. I don't get it. Just what do you guys think about this book? Have you been reading Daredevil at all?
Yeah. No, I am waiting for the reveal that Foggy has been Dr. Doom all along. Yeah. Yeah. That's why he's being a jerk right now.
Right. He pulls off his face and he has another face under his
face. He
has
a totally. Mask and then another face underneath that mask.
Yeah. Right. That's one of my favorite things in comic books, when somebody pulls off their fake face and they're wearing a mask underneath their face.
Sweaty.
Yeah, it's nobody noticed that. Deep. Nobody noticed Nightwing's bulky face mask underneath his mask.
Well, in the Marvel Universe, masks are much better. There's a higher quality of mask work, yeah.
Oh, okay.
it's something I think Jordan D. White in our front row here can really attest to that.
Madam Mask makes them, right?
Yeah, she does.
I'm a huge fan of the artist on this book now, Chris Somney.
Yeah.
The guy's just
this
amazing.
Is
ridiculously
all,
awesome.
All joking aside, this is a fantastic book. Mark Waid is writing the crap out of it. Chris Somney is drawing the crap out of it. It is fantastic. Whether we
That's
disagree
high
about
praise.
What are the, what are the qualities of great artwork to you? Do you like minimalist style? Is it like the compass? Can we just real quick nerd out?
Let's get into this.
I think for Chris Samney, a lot of it has to do with his shading, I think, is rather
Yeah, the
beautiful.
Mood of it looks pretty prominent, just glancing through it.
Look.
It looks sort of Dave Mazzucchelli.
Yeah, very much in the same vein.
And his characters are great, too. They actually... all look different, and structurally they're different, and they move in different
Who's
ways.
Who's the guy that did, like, Selena's Last, whatever that was?
Darwin Cook?
Yeah, this looks kind of like that, too. Mm-hmm. Like sort of.
Yeah, he has a sense of Darwin Cook.
Yeah, and he's one of those annoyingly nice guys. He's talented. Oh, he's nice. Let's just beat him up right now.
I prefer this style more than the kind of, like, I'm not... articulate. I'm not schooled enough to say this in an accurate.
Yeah,
so
right now.
Can you say this what I'm going to say in a smarter way? Like the kind that looks like weird, like Japanese art, but watered down badly, where it's like more two dimensional and flat, and the heads
and
are triangular.
So what
and
I
stuff
hear
like
you
that?
Saying is, I don't know anything about art.
Yeah,
but I'm going to say something anyway.
That's right.
I don't think that was the truth.
That part
is
that part I knew.
Right, well, let me translate that for you. I mean, Chris is one of those deceptively simple artists. I mean, he throws down a few lines. He just, you know, you can look at it, you can read it. Everything's really clear.
It's really easy to look at.
You know, but if you know anything about art, you hate the guy. You just do.
Because he makes it look so easy.
And, you know, I know for a fact, because we talk on Twitter every once in a while, he'd just be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to ink 8 pages today.
That's a lot.
And he's
Dude!
Tweeting.
Yeah, he's just spilling the
ink. He's inking 8 pages and he's dropping witticisms on Twitter.
Yeah, you know, how does he do it?
The Oscar Wilde of comics illustrators.
Have
it's
you
bullshit.
Seen
he's the nicest Oscar Wilde.
I've seen his sketches.
They're disgusting.
The good.
Just these, yes.
Or you mean like they're really perverted?
Too, sometimes.
They're disgusting.
They're these black and white sketches he just seems to toss off, like, I'm waiting for coffee to be brewed. And yeah. These amazing plays on light and shadow.
Talented people. Talented people should not be befriended.
No, in fact, I think they should be ignored as
they
much
yeah,
as possible.
So. They,
online
yeah, they should
and
be
in person.
Ostracized until they give up their gifts.
Jesus Christ.
All right, guys, we're going to move on with our next title.
All right,
next couple of titles we're going to do are a couple of titles that are coming out this week, but don't worry, we're going to keep them spoiler-free for you guys. First thing we're going to talk about, Before Watchmen, Ozymandias, number 2 from DC Comics.
A lot of
snakes.
A huge,
excited snakes.
Oh.
Yeah. In the snake world, that's like applause because they don't have hands.
In the snake world.
Yeah.
It's parcel tongue.
So, I think
for the Harry Potter gang out
we're
there,
talking about Cobra?
Someone, yeah. Nope.
So, I think, Justin, you and I have been pretty generous to the Before Watchmen titles. I think some of them we've liked a lot more than other people. Pete, you are protesting Before Watchmen subtly, right?
Yep.
All good protesters, you just wait until after you read a bunch of them and then start your protest.
Right. Well, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of encouraging it. I'm sick of
What are you sick of exactly?
The Before Watchmen is ridiculous. It shouldn't exist. We shouldn't be doing this. So,
now, do you say that out of reverence for Watchmen or just because you're tired of recycling old characters?
No, he was tired when he got here and didn't want to read the comic.
Gotcha.
It's a little both. I mean, because Watchmen really is, like, when you talk about comics, it's one of the best and one of the ones you got to read and you got to go to. And specifically, the writer was like, this is it. I don't want anybody messing with this. And they went against his wits.
That's the
made
gentlest impersonation of Alan Borat.
Yeah,
I know. Exactly.
Hey, if you guys don't mind.
It'd be really nice if you
be
couldn't.
It'd be really great if you didn't mess with
you got to have a real thick, almost impossible to understand Northampton, England accent.
Yeah. Right. We all have accents.
Hey, and talk about.
Yeah. Well, what about you guys before we actually talk about the book? What's your thoughts on Before Watchmen?
Oh, let's listen to me destroy my career.
Yeah. Sure, go for it.
You know, I'll tell the truth. Creatively, I don't find it particularly interesting.
From reading it or just the whole idea?
That's just the whole idea, which is nothing against the books that are done. They've got, great people involved in the books. I mean, the guy who wrote Ozymandias, Len Wein, friend of mine, one of my favorite writers.
He's awesome.
A huge influence on me when I was a kid. But I got to admit, if someone had come to me, as if they would ever have come to me, and said, hey, would you be interested in doing this? I'd have to think about it. Because I think creatively, everything that could have been said with Watchmen was said within Watchmen. And, nothing against DC for doing it. Obviously this is making money for them, so go for it. But I got to look at it as a creator. I'm not particularly interested in it. There's nothing I would want to say.
Now, see, because that's a common thing. But, like, is it any different than someone doing, like,
Are you saying I'm common?
No, no. Wow. No, but, like, you've heard that. No, you clearly have the royal blood in you.
I like how, Justin, the very first time you try to make a serious point,
I shit
on you like you're Foggy Nelson.
All right, I'll go back to clowning. No, but, like, would you feel the same way about, like, a shitty or mediocre run someone did on Superman? Because it's sort of the same thing.
Yeah, I think it's a fair question.
Well,
I mean,
this is why, I mean, there's a lot of reasons I'm doing Monkey Brain comics now, but that's one of the reasons. These old characters are the bread and butter of the comic book industry, and more power to them. Superman, Batman,
and
Wonder
the
Woman.
Dinner and the dessert almost as well.
Are we talking about toast again?
Yep.
Oh man,
eventually.
I love
toast. I'm a big fan of toast too. I can't cook, so toast, I can handle toast. When they announced the new 52 thing, not to get sidetracked, but my reaction to it was, finally, we're going to tell the end of the story. We've spent 70 years telling the middle of the story. Let's get some endings and then a new beginning. I mean, there's nothing. I'm not crapping on anybody. This is the comic book industry. This is what works. That's what they do. But for me, creatively, I don't care. I would rather do new characters. I mean, I'm the guy who just spent 3 years working on Doctor Who. Talk about characters.
The oldest character of all time.
Well, one of the oldest TV characters, 50 years next year.
Yeah.
But how can guys like me and Adam or anyone else come in and say something that hasn't been said with any of these characters?
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you can't say something new, I'm sorry, me creatively, I'm not interested in it.
Yeah, I will say with this comic in particular, I wasn't crazy about the first issue. There were things that I liked about it from Len Wein's writing. Jay Lee's art, though, is stupendous.
Amazing. And
I think
it's
always amazing.
Yeah.
Say
this
something
is even
about
better
comic,
than his other stuff.
This issue also is incredible.
Yeah,
I love the first issue. This issue is spectacular. So I think there's something to be said for not just saying things from the writing perspective, but also saying things artistically. And what he's doing here is superb. I mean, he works off of Ozymandias has this circle symbol on his belt. So throughout, circles are mixed in, both in the panel structure, but then everything is circular. The action is circular.
Yeah.
Everything that's going on there, it's fantastic to look at.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, and I know if you don't want to read it, don't read it, but I do think there is some worth to it just based on that.
Yeah. And I actually like this. Of all of them, this is one of the ones that I think, if you took all the Ozymandias and all the history of the character out, like, it's an interesting character, it's told in an interesting voice, the story's pretty good, and the art's amazing. So I think it's a good comic.
Yeah.
Pete,
I look forward to you joining the Occupy movement next week. All right. Guys, let's move on with another comic. We haven't really talked about Valiant Comics. They've been doing a reboot that much. But Archer and Armstrong, number one, from writer Fred Van Lente and artist Clayton Henry.
Love me some Fred Van Lente.
So I got to admit, first of all, I did not read the Valiant books at all back in the day. So I don't really – yeah, I'm sorry. Oh,
what was wrong with you?
I was five.
You
no,
asshole.
That's not true.
No,
that's not true.
No, I don't. I just missed it for some reason. But
really? Were you reading comics then?
I don't know. When was it? The 90s?
It was like mid-90s.
Most
was
of
right,
the
90s. It was like the height of the glut.
I was into something way cooler. Theater.
Wow. That's you're asking for a monologue call out right now, sir. Or a song? What did
I don't
you
know.
Do in
One
theater?
Of the two.
Oh, you were running lights or something.
Uh-huh.
Wait, are you making fun of that or...?
I'm not quite sure.
No, anyway. Bootman.
No, just kidding. Yeah. No, just kidding.
Point being, I've really enjoyed this Valiant relaunch so far. I think the writers have been great. The art has been great. The ideas have been a lot of fun. And I actually have gone back now and reread some of the stuff. And I think it spins it in a nice, new, more modern way. I think, to be a little bold about it, I think it's what the New 52 should have been, but done right.
Yeah,
but for the Valiant universe, what
that
is like
that was crazy bold.
Bold. I just dropped.
Holy shit! Half the audience is walking out. That was so
but
bold.
In like reverence.
I just dropped
that was
the mic.
A gentlest dropping of the mic.
I don't want to break the mic.
You were badass.
Alex, I don't want to break it.
You pulled out your mic dropping pillow and said, and dropped the mic. On. Chris Rock does not do that. I don't know if you.
Yeah, no. I'm just like Chris Rock. I'm sure.
I'm really mad. Valiant's back.
Are
because
you?
Yeah, because the first line of my bio for the last couple of years has been, you know, Matthew Dow Smith has drawn comics for every major American comic book publisher. Now that they're back, I've never drawn anything for Valiant, and I'm too busy to do anything for Valiant now. So there
change
goes that
your bio.
Line. I gotta change my whole damn bio because of these guys.
Yeah, just write fuck what Valiant.
Matthew Dow Smith fucks Valiant. There you go.
Fucks Valiantly.
Yeah, this comic, I mean, Fred Van Lente is a hilarious guy, and he has funny bits throughout this that makes it enjoyable. Plus, it's a fun take on how all the dinosaurs died. I thought that was kind of a cool...
That's great. That's definitely the most important part of the book.
Yep. Yeah, there you go.
One panel where the Earth gets shredded.
Right, and there are no dinosaurs. So the idea with this book, it's a little tough to encapsulate what it's about, but...
Yeah.
Basically, these two dudes get caught up in
overarching
conspiracy.
Well, it starts in Mesopotamia. There's a fight going on. There's a big rock that
right.
shoots everybody, basically.
Yeah.
They're fighting over it. Then we flash forward to today.
Yeah.
And what happens is there's this religious zealot and his family. He leaves the family, goes out in the world, and then he meets this immortal who he's supposed to hunt down and kill.
All right.
And then they become friends.
Yeah. Basically, they become friends. There we go. Everything works out
just
nicely.
Like everyone on the show.
Art is great. This is very funny. Great action in this. Nice twists. I really enjoy this title a lot.
I think my one big problem.
Yeah.
It wasn't Sterling Archer,
which
it hurts me.
I'm sorry. Did you hear that they're going to have a crossover between Archer and Bob's Burgers?
Really?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You're joking, really?
No, totally. We had H. John Benjamin on the show a couple of weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And
you guys just
voice.
Became so much cooler in my book.
And
John
that's
Benjamin
all
is awesome.
We were pretty cool.
Yeah,
before,
he
right?
does the main voice, in case you don't know, on Archer and Bob's Burgers. So Archer is going to lose his memory and end up working at a burger place and be called Bob. So that should be pretty awesome.
Yeah, the voice yeah. acting universe.
And if you like that, pick up Archer and Armstrong. All right, last thing we're going to talk about. This is from Marvel Comics. Gambit, number one, by James Asmus and Clay Mann. So we've had James on the show a couple of times.
Good before. Friend.
Good friend.
Nice
very
guy.
Good friend, but don't let that hold back your review.
Never
this
would.
Is a new take on Gambit, the sexy Cajun thief.
Ooh.
Sort of like a sexy version.
Sexy Cajun theme.
It's like a sexy version of Foghorn Leghorn.
Wait,
sorry,
wait,
I know. That, just
the one thing it's
right?
missing yeah, from Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah, I should have just said
sex.
Foghorn Leghorn.
Yeah. Hey, yeah.
Where's the sex, I say, when I'm watching a Foghorn Leghorn cartoon?
Exactly.
Dude, it's in your fucking brain.
Yeah. Oh, I say, I say, I say.
I say.
What? What do you guys think about this comic?
What are we
blown.
Talking about?
I can't even.
Yeah. What goes through your head?
Yeah.
That was when you dropped the mic.
What?
That was when you dropped the mic.
Yeah.
Yeah. There it is.
Great guy.
What'd you guys think about this?
I mean, it was the first issue, and it had Gambit in it, but it wasn't Gambit. It was
looks like you're slowly dying.
Yeah. It was a smoother Gambit. That's
smoother.
Yeah, like I
softer.
So the idea of this series, Gambit, for past I don't know, probably decade almost, has basically been a superhero. He's been in the X-Men. He's been fighting evil. He's become a school teacher. He's become the
that
guy that
hero.
Girls
the real
are always
superhero.
Talking
yeah.
to, and he's always the shoulder to cry on. So he's become the sensitive one, and this title is basically saying, screw that. I want to go
it's
back to being a thief just for a little bit and recapture some of that magic. And I think they do that. I think there's a fun caper aspect to it set in the Marvel Universe. I love structurally what they do where, like any good caper movie, they set up stuff in the beginning that really pays off well into it in ways you didn't expect. Yeah. What do you think about this book?
I liked it. Yeah, it was he's stealing from a rich man who has a room in his mansion with an airplane in it. That's what I imagine all rich people
and a
have.
Dinosaur skeleton.
Yep, which
probably left over from Archer and Armstrong.
True.
Still doesn't sell me.
No.
No.
And then there's also some supernatural stuff going on as well. So
yeah,
it's a nice. Gambit's always been a good character, and he's been just lost. He's been like crying for 5 years in the Marvel Universe.
And for anybody who's interested in this sort of stuff, he's naked for the first couple of pages. There you go. Like some sort of sexy.
It's almost as sexy as Foghorn Leghorn. Yeah,
almost. That guy's naked.
That's true. Yeah,
that guy.
He's not a guy.
Yeah. I mean, he is a giant cock.
Yeah. Oh. Finally,
and that's it for the stack.
That's where you drop the mic right there. That's where you drop the mic.
Guys, we're going to move on with our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to go over to Boothman.
Boothman!
Hello. All right, Boothman, you got some questions for us?
Do you?
Sure.
Do you, Boothman?
Cool. And I should also mention that for those of you who asked really good questions at the end, I'm going to ask these guys. Choose two of them, and we got some cool extra prizes for you.
Bonus prizes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Foghorn Leghorn suit to wear. Okay, first question. Daredevil for Galactus and Silver Surfer, great trade or greatest trade?
For those of you that don't know, there's a swap going on between, is it Marvel and Fox?
I can't believe this stuff actually happens.
Yeah, right. This is some real, like, horse trader
shit.
Yeah,
this
Pokemon. May or may not be happening. Basically, Fox owns the rights to Daredevil and Fantastic Four right now. Marvel, of course, owns pretty much everything else. Fox needs to make Daredevil have it filming by October 10th, or they lose the rights to Daredevil. So the rumor that was going around yesterday was that Marvel said, okay, we'll extend the rights for you if you give us Galactus and the Silver Surfer.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love the idea that all these, like, high-powered execs are in a meeting.
Okay,
like,
I'll
listen,
give you this.
We got to get Silver Surfer, or this is fucked. You don't get it. Call up Mr. Fox. Tell him he can have the blind lawyer for another year. Get us that Surfer.
It totally, because then Fox came back and was like, no, we're definitely not doing that. That's ridiculous. We're really committed to making a Daredevil film. It totally strikes me as when, like, I'm in Monopoly and I'm trying to trade things or when I'm trying to trade action figures. Like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
No. And then it's really all about coming back so they give us something better.
Yeah. Greed. Yeah.
What do you guys think? Daredevil for Galactus and the Silver Surfer. Good trade. Good trade.
Pretty lame trade, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know.
I feel like Daredevil is a much more filmable character.
Yeah, yeah,
like
kind of
he's
is.
A human being.
Here's the thing.
But Ben Affleck.
He's got the cool
it.
Horns.
Just because one of the movies was bad, I mean, the character's really great.
But here's the thing. In Avengers, I think we can spoil this, they set up Thanos as a villain. You can't do.
What?
You can't do.
I haven't seen it.
You
yet.
See Dark Knight like 9 times. You haven't seen Avengers.
I haven't gotten around to it.
You can't do a Thanos movie if you don't have space. And you need. If you're going to do space, you got to have like Silver Surfer.
Well, space is big. And Galactus is big.
How
so you're
big?
Gonna see him somewhere, even if he's in the back being like, hey,
I what think was Silver that Galactus Surfer impression? Would make it.
That was arguing the planet.
let me eat your planet. Hey, let me eat your planet. He's like a Napoleon Dynamite?
Yeah. Is that what hey Napoleon, let me eat your planets. Let's not do that.
No, no. You did it.
Oh, I did it?
Yes. But I'm with you, Will. I think the Daredevil character is so
great.
Filmable. I mean,
yeah,
you could do some really interesting stuff with him.
He could, like, jump around and be blind.
I mean, one of my good friends is Ron Mars, and he'll kill me for saying this.
Uh-oh.
And actually, I know Jim
he's
Sterling,
amazing
who
man.
Created
yeah,
Thanos.
He's a good guy.
You know, I don't care about Silver Surfer. You've just never
you
been.
Do
in Silver
Ron
Surfer
Mars
well.
Hates you. Now.
I'm sorry.
I don't think
Silver Surfer's appeal
Silver.
Is weird. I
Ron's
mean,
gonna beat the living daylights out of me if he ever hears this. But
I'd love
I,
to see
no.
two comics artists just beating the holy hell out of this guy. It's so ironic. Guys who have
that's
drawn fights
point.
For a living.
Trust me,
can't throw a punch.
Ron watches sports, so he'll win.
Okay.
Wait, because he watches.
Because he watches sports.
Nobody's more athletic than somebody who watches sports.
That's what I'm saying. Well, no, this is how pathetic I am, that puts him higher up.
I guess the guy who's reading 5 books a week is going to get his ass up by someone who's at least seen football.
Well, he's not going to like throw a football at you.
I can kind of just sort of wave my hand.
Well, I mean, you know,
but
with persistence, you could wear him down.
Let's be honest. You can possibly make Rocket Raccoon look cool. Silver Surfer, never going to happen.
What? People love Silver Surfer.
Yeah, people love
but
yeah.
it will never look anything other than completely ridiculous on film.
I mean, no more than other superheroes.
A
silver
naked man on a surfboard is not ridiculous. It's really
Silver
awesome.
Comes from that time of when Jack Kirby just seemed to take guys in tights and mix them with a random household object and created a character, right? There was like, wasn't there a guy on skis in the
oh,
New
yeah,
Gods?
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
like somebody
the
like in
blender.
A... yeah, and the, you know, what's the MODOK, the big head
oh,
and the
yeah,
brace?
Yeah, okay.
Just seemed like I feel like Jack Kirby would look around his desk and be like, oh, I guess that humidifier, and I'll mix it with a frog. Okay, that's my next guy.
He's going to menace someone this week.
Yeah.
All right, raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right, this is sort of a serious question, but
oh, boy.
What would you do for a Klondike bar?
Ooh.
Oh, nice.
I would
nice.
Punch these two in the face, that's for sure.
Oh, that's a good one. Wait, I've, at the same time? Like,
yeah. Wait. You don't need a Klondike bar to do stuff, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't give you, but it's not a drug.
Well, no, that makes it okay.
doesn't make it okay.
You won't get arrested or anything because you're like, officer, I was doing for a Klondike bar.
No, Klondike isn't like a law.
No, it's like a
legal...
get out of jail free card.
No,
it's
no,
like,
no you have a misunderstanding. That ad campaign
that?
Really nailed
yeah.
you.
No, the commercials, you can do anything.
Naive. You're a great
It's like
mistake.
Mentos. You could like jump in somebody's car and drive it around for a while.
Yeah. You're like, some sort of candy criminal. You do crimes, you're like, sorry, I was eating this payday.
That's the greatest
crime. That is
oh,
truth, yeah.
Right. All right.
No one has eaten a payday. That might be true.
Yeah.
I've never known of anyone to do it. I haven't done it.
They actually only made one payday ever.
They're waiting for it to sell.
Nobody's eaten
yet. As soon as it goes, they're going to make another one.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
Okay, if you had to do a reimagining or reboot of Popeye the Sailor Man, and just to let you guys know, I first thought it said Popeye the Sailor Moon. Popeye the Sailor Man, what's your pitch?
Well, first,
oh,
instead
question.
Of spinach, he's going to eat crack.
Yeah,
I like it.
Crack cocaine.
Crack cocaine. Real
crack
dark
corn.
And gritty.
Oh, nice. Well, and his muscles get smaller as he wastes
it's
away.
Real strung out.
Wow.
What do you guys think? What would you want to see in a rebooted Popeye the Sailor Man?
I mean, Rob Williams did such an amazing job.
Hey, shut
Rob
up. That was
Williams.
A great movie.
Yeah,
highly,
you
highly
could probably
underrated.
Actually make it darker, grittier just by having Robin Williams reprise
well,
his role.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, with 1 hour photo, mash it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Aren't they doing new Popeye comics now?
They just did IDW.
It's Roger Langridge who's doing it,
right.
And he's doing it exactly like the old Popeye comics.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no updating or anything like that.
There's no crack?
There's no crack.
No crack.
Shit. Not yet. Might take a turn.
Yeah. No ninjas?
No ninjas.
Crack ninjas. No Sailor Moon.
No Sailor Moon.
Thing.
I would read Popeye the Sailor Moon.
Popeye the Sailor Moon.
I don't
like
know how much I want to see Popeye's panties, but I think I'd read it.
Oh.
What?
Wait, you don't know how much?
I don't know how much.
What if it's Foghorn Leghorn fingering Popeye the Sailor Moon?
You saw my convention sketch?
Yeah. Wow. Pop culture cool. was just ruined.
Raise your hand if you asked that. You're going to get some free comics. Let's get the next question. If did you write Popeye the Sailor Moon, Jordan?
You weirdo. You creep.
All right, next question. If Wolverine sliced himself perfectly in half, would he regenerate as two people?
Great.
Yes. Oh.
Great question.
Is it the 80s?
Yeah, right.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes a difference to the answer.
Yeah. If it's the 80s, yeah. No, he dies, right?
No, if it's the 80s, he totally does.
Really?
Yeah. Claremont, every time.
Oh,
He'd be like six people for no reason.
No, yeah. I disagree with that because I think...
I have a slight quibble. I think he would die, but then in 91 come back as two people.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm going to agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love the
they
point
would
when
milk
Wolverine
all the drama of the departure and then
come back. It's like Wolverine
back.
And Popeye.
Yeah.
The Sailor Moon.
When Wolverine could
Dark
get hurt,
Wolverine
he
like
was
Wolverine.
So much more interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be great, too. Any of those combinations are great.
Yeah, I agree. Well, they depowered Wolverine, like a couple years ago? And then he's already back to being basically
right.
unstoppable.
Yeah.
Because there was a point where he got...
Because he is unstoppable.
Depowered, cool. Reboot, retcon. I love words that only happen with like comic book continuity as a concern.
Well, yeah, we're big on prefixes in the old comic book.
Well,
yeah.
You know, but let me say, when someone says regeneration, I, as a massive
Doctor Who
fan,
right.
I think of something else.
Yeah. Doctor Who owns Regenerate.
And if Wolverine regenerated after every injury, better book.
What do you mean, like into a new
like
a physical form?
Yeah, like a new,
a
totally different person?
Yeah.
No, that could be very interesting.
All right. You have 40 more seconds to talk about Doctor Who.
So there was that one episode where
it.
There was that one
no,
thing.
No, don't use it all now. You might want to use some of it
No,
later.
And then there was the episode with the Yetis in it, and they had two stories with Yetis in it. It was awesome.
I don't say this a lot, but you guys are dorks.
Raise your hand if you ask that. You can get some free comics. Let's get the next question.
All right, last one. You guys ready?
Yep. Okay, here we go.
Does Galactus fart? He is a cloud.
Wow, yeah.
Yes, he is a
if
cloud.
If he eats like
Does Galactus
a, like maybe
fart?
If he gets if he drinks too much and eats maybe more planets than he should.
Right, if he eats, if
like
he eats
a real
broccoli
fatty.
Planet.
I was just going to say, where do you think asteroid belts come from?
Oh! That's disgusting.
It's a gross that's way of
looking. Yeah, I think he only farts when humans are watching him. Doesn't he appear differently to all the races? Isn't that one of the Galactus things? All the races see him as a different
And you were making fun of us for being nerdy?
Yeah, yeah no, that's true.
He's more in my guts? Wheelhouse. Doctor Who stuff is too far, my friend.
what?
All right, guys, before we move on
better
from audience questions,
better dude than Ood?
Let me
I
ask
can't
you guys
be a good Doctor
poll
Who
from you. What were your two favorite questions? Wait, what?
Something gross was brought up in the audience.
No one said anything about
galactose
intolerance.
Boo!
Get out!
In oh case you didn't hear it at home, galactose intolerance. You get an Avengers poster.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
To be fair, I saw him write that down like an hour ago.
Galactose. He's really excited.
What were your favorite questions, guys?
What's
your favorite question?
I like the Popeye reimagining. That was my favorite.
Who asked that?
That was really interesting.
All right, you get an Avengers keychain. Congratulations.
Nice.
And that's it for your audience questions. Yeah. Thank you.
Put some radical keys on that.
Okay,
man.
Guys, we are going to move on with our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Yeah.
One person.
All right. In the Week in Geek, we're going to talk about some geek culture topics, things happening elsewhere in the world. So, Geek, first thing, big news happened right before the show. Don't know if you guys heard this, but officially, Joss Whedon is back writing and directing Avengers 2.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
And not only that, last week we talked about an Avengers Universe-based TV show. Joss Whedon is apparently heading that up and helping out as well.
Well, wait, do we
too
really
much
do
Avengers,
do we really trust this guy? Like, do we really trust this guy? Has he proven himself?
Are there enough female Avengers for him to kill?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know. I think it'll be the TV show will be like Avengers meets Buffy.
That's why I'm asking if there are enough female Avengers. You know.
Well, what do you guys think? What do you want to see from Joss Whedon's now official Avengers 2, and what do you want to see from the TV show?
Just Firefly. Thinly veiled Firefly.
That's where I would have gone.
West Coast Avengers.
I just want Firefly.
West Coast Avengers.
Yeah. Oh, that would
be Firefly.
A West Coast Avengers TV show would be great. Written, sort of helmed by him. That's a really good idea.
Joss is one of those guys where you hear about a new project from him, and I go, "Oh, that sounds like a terrible idea." And then I watch it and go, "That was awesome!" So yeah, whatever he wants to do, I don't care. I'll watch it.
So Skull Kill Crew.
Actually, that would be really cool.
That actually would be good.
Yeah. Skrull? Did I say Skull?
You said Skull. But cool. We knew what you're talking about.
Right, yeah.
You got to lay a lot of pipe to get to the Skrull Kill Crew.
Who's laying pipe?
Huh?
Mario Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Pete? What would you want to see other than a Punisher TV show?
I just don't want them to be spread too thin. I want them to focus on making Avengers 2 amazing. That's all.
He's got the time.
Does he?
What would you want to see? Yeah. He doesn't do anything else. He just works on this. What else does he do?
I don't know. He doesn't have a life going on, right?
He doesn't. I mean, don't worry about it.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about this because now I'm worried about his time schedule.
I know. I feel like, we've talked about him so much, he's going to be caught up listening to this podcast.
I do with my time? Yeah. Well, quit.
Yeah.
I think we were talking about that something. It has to be something S.H.I.E.L.D.-based so that you don't have any of the main Avengers characters or anything like that.
West Coast Avengers.
That's a great idea.
Yeah,
if he does a S.H.I.E.L.D. show, doesn't Bendis start to cry because that was Powers?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, I think so. I think
let's make Bendis cry.
Yeah. All right.
Just because we can.
Yeah. Aww. Will, what would you want to see out of a
Who was the disco roller skater in the 80s? Dazzler?
Dazzler.
Yeah.
I'll see Dazzler.
Make fun of Dazzler.
It's something fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as it's something
disco
fun.
Disco is still popping.
All right, let's move to the other side of the spectrum. It came out recently that apparently they filmed an entire Bane origin sequence for Dark Knight Rises that was not actually used for the movie. Now, having seen the movie and skirting spoilers for our one audience member who hasn't seen it, what do you guys think? Would you have wanted to see more of Bane's origin in the movie?
I would have wanted more movie. Hell yes.
What?
Really?
How much
it was
more
only,
could
what,
you
like
want?
2.5 hours long and then it ended? What the
you
fuck?
You were just like.
That's a fan.
Yeah. You know what? I would have liked if it was broadcast in real time.
Yeah.
So five months long would have been nice.
That would have been amazing.
I mean, you're so worried about Joss Whedon's time, and you're like, I need more Dark Knight.
I do want
value your own time.
What do you guys think? Would you have wanted to see more Bane in Dark Knight Rises?
Would have been bitten by a radioactive gas mask.
Yeah. That would have been good. Any thoughts?
I mean, I haven't seen The Dark Knight.
What? Yeah.
None of us have.
No, I haven't seen it either. Yep. So,
what are you waiting for?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm just trying to make every decision in my life wrong.
Well, you came on this show.
And that's it for the week in Geek. All right, guys, we're going to move on to trivia, and for that, we're going to turn it over to Pete LePage.
This is the part we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We really appreciate it. Yeah. It's an opportunity to win $25.
Wow.
That's right. Who would like a chance to win $25?
That's like 50 cents.
In the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Yes, you, sir.
Yeah.
First hand up guy. Come on up on the stage. Yeah, nice hop. What is your name, sir?
Bobby.
Bobby, audience, Bobby.
Hi, audience.
All right. Don't showboat. You haven't won anything yet.
Don't showboat.
All right. Okay, Bobby. How this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question. You listen to all three possible answers. Go 3 for 3. Gift card is yours. All right. Today's trivia is on Amelia Cole and the Unknown World. All right. Thank you, Boothman. Use the music. It helps. Amelia finds there is two worlds. One driven by technology and the other driven by, is it A, magic, B, religion, or C, Groupons? So it's either A, which is what I would pick, or it's B, religion.
So it's not Groupon? coupons.
It's not coupons. No.
All right, I'm going to go with
sort of.
A.
That's a word.
A is correct. Yeah.
All right.
Groupons is a word that Pete Googled today, by accident.
Who tries to help Amelia? Is it A, Uncle Fred, B, Aunt Danny, or C, Obamacare? So it's either A or it's B, which actually happens.
I can go with B?
Yes.
Nice.
Aunt Danny tries to help her out. All right, here we go. Last question. Don't get cocky. Yep. Amelia was supposed to meet Laura for coffee.
Jesus.
But instead, she had to fight blank. Is it A, a demon, B, a ghost, or C, Rocksteady and Bebop? So it's... I'm big fans too, but... All right, here we go. It's either A or it's B. Don't...
Bebop.
A.
Yay! A is correct.
Nailed.
$25 free.
I'm gonna spend this on comics.
Yeah.
All right. Good job.
That was nice,
guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Oh man. You know what I actually am gonna get because I didn't get a chance to pick it up is the last issue of Razzle. I know it came out.
Oh, Razzle 15.
Yeah, but I'm gonna pick it up tomorrow.
All right.
Nice.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to Scarlet Spider number 8.
Oh, God.
If you're not reading this
that.
Comic, check it out. It's Spider-Man's clone, living in the Southwest, fighting crime begrudgingly, and it's great.
What do you mean begrudgingly?
He's sort of like not super into it for virtuous reasons.
Does he
reasons.
Have to do it?
Well, when you see a crime, you just sort of
run away.
Yeah. No, you fight it when you see a crime.
Yeah. Okay. I'm looking forward to It Girl and the Atomics number 1 is coming out from Image Comics tomorrow. I don't know if any of you guys have read Madman by Mike Allred. Awesome series. This is spinning out of it, and it's actually, I think, a very worthy successor to that series, written by Jamie S. Rich, who is the editor on the Madman books, art by Mark Norton, and it's a lot of fun. If you're looking for a new series with a strong female heroine that is not Amelia Cole or October Girl, pick those up first.
Now,
definitely go It Girl and the Atomics.
Have you read already?
I have read it already.
Okay, so is it as tripped out as Madman was?
No, it's actually a little more grounded, but it's very funny. And there is some ridiculous stuff. The villains in it are ridiculous.
All right, cool.
Yeah, really fun. Definitely enjoyed the issue. Check it out. Adam, what are you looking forward to?
The OMAC trade.
Yeah?
Come on. OMACtivate?
Hello.
Done.
Based on the title alone.
Yeah.
And Adam, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Amelia Cole 2 is on Comixology now.
All right.
Nice.
You can go and buy issues 1 and 2, 50 pages a story, $4.
What? Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal.
Actually, a great deal.
Cool. Matt, what about you? What are you looking forward to?
You know, this is going to sound nerdy, but there's I know you guys will be enormously surprised by it.
Better not say Doctor Who. You used your time.
There's a whole bunch of Doctor Who stuff coming out. No.
I gave you 40 seconds.
You used the 40.
You used it. I said save some.
There's a new soft cover of the How to Letter Comics the Comic Craft Way, and I know that's pretty that's
nice.
Pretty nerdy.
Very
but
nice.
I'm a huge fan of Richard Starkings and Comic Craft, and I'll be honest, I letter October Girl with the files open in Illustrator and Safari open to the Comic Craft page with their how to handle problems sort of things. Because that's how I've learned how to letter.
That's awesome.
All right. So, hey, I'll buy that. It might save me some computing time.
And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
October Girl number 2 is coming out in a couple weeks from Comixology. And then I think later this month, first issue of Blackburn Burrows, a project I'm doing with Ron Mars for Amazon Studios.
If he's still talking to you.
If he's still talking to me after my whole Silver Surfer revelation.
That was bull.
That will be available as a digital comic from Amazon. Their first. Very digital close. Comic that they're putting out.
Nice.
Congratulations on that. Thanks. Will, what are you looking forward to?
There's an amazing Spider-Man toaster that's coming out. So we love toast. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, that's my answer.
All right.
Plug your stuff. What should people
check out? I have a sketch show Thursday, 9:30 at the UCB Theater called Small Men, and it's a pick and time out and in the New York Times. So please come and check it out.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah. Very cool. A couple of things before we go. This Thursday, we are going to be live in Boston for one night only.
Oh, and one night only.
Guest Tak Toyoshima, who does Secret Asian Man, is going to be on the show.
Yeah.
And Joe Quinones, who's done a bunch of Project Rooftop stuff and also covers for Planet of the Apes, is going to be on the show. Then we're back here in New York City next Tuesday with David Gallagher talking about his book, The Only Living Boy, and comedian Winston Noel.
Nice.
Pete, what do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to hear about all the amazing guests we have on the show.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Yep, you can check out our website, comicbookclublive.com, or the podcast on Nerdist.com as well. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Adam for being on the show. Matt. Will.
Boom,
man. But most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're every Tuesday night at Fontana's in New York City. Absolutely free. Thank you. Good.